Welcome to Acorn to Oak with Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy. Within each acorn, there is the DNA that strives to be a mighty oak tree. All it needs to reach its potential for greatness is to be activated. You are the acorn. On this show, we will share with you the tools and guidance you need to grow into the person you are meant to be. And now your host, Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy.
Hello there, good evening. I'm Matthew Donaghy. I've got my co-host here, Adam Weller. Due to popular demand and a few requests that we've had through the website, we just wanted to, firstly say thank you for the response. It's been really encouraging for ourselves. And also to say that we're going to be obviously expanding on one of the shows that we did before, which was Waking the Man. So on tonight's show, we're going to spend some more time and dig a little deeper into looking into some of the issues that we covered in the show a few weeks ago. And this is a subject we're both very passionate about. We've both changed our lives beyond recognition, and we'll share some of the experiences and some of the understandings we've gained throughout our training that has made life a lot easier than it was. So just handing over to Adam and let him introduce himself.
Hello and good evening, everybody, or good afternoon. And so just to explain a little bit more, tonight we're going to look in a little bit around how do we cope with life, the perception of what a modern man should be. You know, we have such big influences from TV, media, the social media side of things, you know, portraying a certain image or a way of being. And then we're going to ask the question, what is a real man? How does being real when faced with situations help us to bypass the drama and have a real honest conversation, which is often what's needed, not the drama and the stigma around it?
Yeah, I think that's a very valid point. I think half the time it's the drama and the stigma around situations that is often the hardest thing to break through, and actually causes the biggest issue. I mean, when you look at one of my favourite courses that I've done over the years is Inner Balance, and it's very much about women learning about men and men learning about women, and how we work, how the opposite sex works, but in a very constructive, a very open and a very honest way. And what struck me as was a real profound thing for me is when human behavior is explained to you, especially the opposite sex, we have a tendency to get confused and make the opposite sex wrong. So a real good example of what I'm trying to get across is men don't understand why women think it's a big issue that we're 10 minutes late. And I used to have that same opinion. It was like, oh, well, I'm only going to be 10 minutes, so I won't bother texting. I'll be there in 10 minutes. And we think that there's nothing wrong with that. And then men get home and women can unload on them with worries and fears, and the man just thinks the woman's having a go at him. But what he doesn't realise is men process generally one thing at a time, whereas women can be processing up to 15 things at a time. It's something that women are very good at. It's a skill that I'm very envious of, I have to admit. But women generally will be going through a process of they could just be 10 minutes late, so they're not texting. However, they could have had a car accident. They could have come off their bike. Any number of things could have happened to them. And this is just the way that a lot of women think. And it blew my mind. And although I didn't understand the thought processing, when I understood that's how they thought, it was kind of like, I didn't really know that. And that must be deeply hurtful for a man to sort of go, oh, well, I don't know. And for me, it really opened up my relationships. And I realized how certain things that I was doing would cause a reaction, and actually that I wasn't doing it on purpose or anything like this, but just knowing how the opposite sex processes things, it doesn't make anybody right and it doesn't make anybody wrong. It's just embracing that we have differences and joshing with it and having a little bit of fun with it and saying, oh, well, that's a bit mannish or that's a bit womanish, but having a laugh with it and being open about it. Because I think a lot of the reasons that men and women have issues and butt heads is because it's just a little bit of lack of understanding and a little bit of sort of communication. And it's something I found doing that course really, really improved my relationships, because I could be more courteous without even doing anything. I would just wouldn't do the things I would usually do. So, and it makes you, again, real closer. I know that I've mentioned in the previous show that when you have an open communication like that, you become this team the relationship becomes more than a relationship. You realize that you're a team and that person's got your back, and actually they'll be 100% honest with you no matter what, and they've got your back on it, and you just find your relationships expand. Or certainly I did, even with just female friends. And I know Adam's had some of the same situations.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, especially sort of since we're on the inner balance and the male-female relationship. You know, I remember occasions where there's been a need to have a difficult and a real conversation about what's going on. And I remember sitting there, like, thinking before I'm going to say this, like, damn, are they still going to like me after I say this? You know?
Yeah, you've got fear, right?
Yeah, that, you know, there is part of you that's worried about being 100% real and saying, actually, I'm not happy with this. You know, you never let me know what time you're coming in, and I don't know where you are, and blah, blah, blah. And rather than having an argument about it, you actually have a conversation about it, and you then gain that understanding, and then you gain a little bit of perception as to how it is for them. And then, very much like you say, that then allows you to start making allowances for it. So you realise you're running late, and okay, it means you're going to be 12 minutes late, but you stop and you send that text message saying you're going to be late, because you now understand that actually there's a million and one things that's running through their head, whereas all that's running through your head is, oh, great, I'm late again, sort of thing.
Yeah, and it's like we can only base things on our view, and a lot of the time we're assuming. So you assume what that other person is thinking. Well, you have no, absolutely no idea how that person is thinking. So, again, we make assumptions, and it's really, really good how, I mean, assumption is a lot of why a lot of men feel suppressed at the moment, because I'm all for everybody being equal. I think male and female should have been equal, and it's a shame that in past times that hasn't been the case. But I think very much these days it is, like, women hold the same power as we do, in that they're not held back, and I don't think that it should have ever been the case. But I think since that change, where there's been that boost in equality and things are a lot more fair these days, men have almost lost where we fit in, and it's knowing what we can say and what we can do and what's now acceptable, because it feels as though so much has changed. And I see it in a lot of my clients, that's why a lot of men feel stuck, because they're not allowed to, or they feel as though they can't fully express themselves. So, and you can see it over time, and I'm very lucky to have a lot of very, very real women in my life, and we have the most amazing conversations, because we cut through all the rubbish and just talk about how it makes you feel and certain situations. And they were sharing with me that actually they're not surprised that men feel so sort of lost and don't know their place, because even if you take a natural human behavior like flirting at work, Now, a lot of people would meet partners at work and that sort of thing, and it's gone from, because a few people don't know how to act and behave themselves, unfortunately, it's kind of like it ruins it for everybody else. So now you can't flirt because, well, am I flirting, or is that going to be seen as sexual harassment? And we could just be talking about very light, very humorous flirting that we all enjoy doing. It's something that when two people meet and you have that attraction, and it's like even one little situation like that can really change a dynamic where you have to adjust your behavior because it's now seen as a negative thing. And in so many ways, it's, we don't know how to act in certain situations, because again, for a man to be passionate is acceptable, but for a man to be angry, it is not acceptable. But how many people actually know the difference and feel the difference? Because the trouble is, even when a man is passionate, he's told he's angry. And in a lot of cases, this is mistaken. And it's a simple case of, the energy of it and the emotion that's given off. But we've just learned to recoil. And through that, we've suppressed a lot, because there's a lot of guys out there that feel that they can't speak their mind without somebody being insulted or somebody taking what they've said and twisting it around just to make it something it's not. So I think it's certainly within society, and that's why men have a lot of the mental issues, is just because they feel like they just can't speak out and be 100% authentically honest. And I know it's certainly something I've seen within my client base. And that's why it's really important for me, and I really wanted to continue do a second part to the show, because it's showing that actually we can all be really, really honest, and we may disagree with each other, but that doesn't necessarily make anybody right and anybody wrong. That just means we have different points of view, and it's not about getting stuck in the differences. It's about getting stuck into the similarities, and that's where you look at sort of the environment and some of the global issues we have. It's like we're so busy arguing about what the best solution is, we don't start the solution in the first place. And it's kind of that whole procrastination, and it's like the battle of the egos almost. It's like, because people don't see themselves on the same page, they make the other side wrong, and actually the intention behind what they both want is the same, but they can't get over the initial stigma or argument. Do you know what I mean? So that's obviously relevant with the show this evening, that we just wanted to expand on things. And actually just put out a real honest opinion and show people that you can speak very honestly and diligently and respect everybody else. And that's where that's what we're missing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a really a fine line at times, or at least for me as a man, it does feel like it's a fine line on a lot of the things that you was just talking about, you know, whether it be that sort of friendly flirtation at work or just some of the times where you allow your passion to come out, you know, and whether it's sort of rightly or wrongly mistaken as anger. But it is almost that, you know, go back sort of 30, 40, 50 years, you know, sort of our parents' generations and that. And don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting it's right, because I do think, you know, everybody is equal, and it is great that we can all be seen as equal. But, you know, we are sort of simple creatures, really. And, you know, go back to caveman times, and we would go out and we would hunt and we would get the food and we would bring it back. And then, you know, we always used to have the mentality of, right, okay, well, you know, I go out and work and bring in the money, and wife stays at home and raises the children and that sort of thing. And it's like, we had that place, we had that structure, we had that, yeah, okay, so that's where we are, that's our job, that's our role, which, you know, for a lot of men, we like to have that and know that, yeah, that's what we're doing and why we're doing it. But it is, it's just that, okay, so we're a little bit lost now because, well, actually, I don't know, is it okay for me to be a sit-at-home dad, or am I just seen as lazy, or there's not that many men doing it? Do you know what I mean? It's that, where do we sit? How can we fit in with this? And, you know, what is the best way to move forwards with it? If you are feeling like you don't know your place and where you sit.
Yeah, and I think it doesn't, all men really need to know is that information, really. We can be quite simple in our needs, in that if we're told what's happening or where we stand, then we can work from that. But it's, yeah, I mean, a lot of guys have there's a stigma around, oh, well, I couldn't stay at home. And it's a case of, for me, it's never really been an issue. I've never really had a hang-up around that. I've always thought if it's what makes the family work best. It's if you have somebody that has an attachment to looking after the children and would like to do that. In many situations, a lot of guys actually that haven't had that father figure in their life, actually it's what they would like to do. And actually, rather than owning it and saying, actually, that because it's not something I experience, it's actually something I'd like to do, but I'm telling myself that I can't because I'm supposed to be the man and be the one going out to work. And again, it's about embracing all parts of self and saying, well, actually, if it's a genuine feeling, it doesn't matter if there's any judgment from anybody. It's allowing yourself to do it. And I mean, I love some of there's some guys in the UK doing various different Facebook posts as like fathers that are bringing their kids up. And you see that the fun that they're having and the joy they have. And I mean, again, there's this stigma around, oh, women can do it better than men, or men in any situation, whatever it be. But it's kind of like we're both just as capable as each other. And we may have different things of doing things, but it doesn't mean that anybody is or one sex is more capable than the other. It just, what it clears or makes it clear for me is actually when we work together, that's what makes relationships so good, is the complementing each other. And it doesn't matter whether it's the same sex relationship or whatever. It's kind of like you do always find there's the sort of the yin and the yang and the balance. Because ultimately, when we're talking about personality and sex, but there is that similarity, and it's just working with it, and it opens up all sorts of relationships. And I think that's one of the sort of important points, is we can be moving forwards in our personal relationships, but also some of the global situations that we're faced with, if we were just a little bit more open, and rather than jump in and make the other team wrong or the other people wrong. We've seen it with Greta Thunberg. I thought, what a great speech that she gave, and here's a passionate girl that wants to make a difference in the environment. And yeah, she's a young girl, and she perhaps doesn't know as much as some people that have lived longer and have a bit more knowledge, but the passion and the driving force she had, I thought, is absolutely fantastic. And the first thing adults did were jump in and make her wrong, and there was all sorts of trolling on the internet, and I sort of stepped back and I thought, do you know what, like, us adults should know better. It's not about going into reaction and going, oh, this little girl's telling us what to do, she doesn't know anything, blah, blah, blah. It's going, oh, actually, yeah, she's got a good point. And not taking it personally. When I know when the younger generations say that the last couple of generations have wrecked the planet, they've got a good point. But we're not responsible here. We don't have to go in reaction. They're not saying, they're not pointing the finger directly at us and going, oh, it's your fault. The last generations, we've all got to put our hands up and say, in some way, yes, we're all responsible. But it's not about that. It's about moving it forward. It's about taking the words that people say and actually and seeing the passion, because that's the other thing. A lot of people just made her wrong and said, oh, she's an angry little girl. I didn't feel an ounce of anger when she was giving that speech, because it's passion that was coming out. And it is this young person that is growing up, seeing the planet in an absolute state of chaos, and has gone in to passion mode with it. I see her as a very young Gandhi, because he chose to push through with passion rather than get angry and just go off and do his own thing. He decided to get passionate and freed India. And I see it as that very much. Whereas other people, it's this whole, oh, she's making us wrong, or we don't like her. And actually, rather than going, well, she's only seeing it from her perspective, and actually it's a very real perspective.
Yeah.
Because not only is her very late life going to be massively affected by the environment, but her generation are faced with, do you really want to have children if they're going to grow up in a very, very unhealthy environment? So I think, again, it's very much about embracing it and saying, yeah, do you know what, this kid's got a point. And we've all got to take responsibility and do something. So thanks for listening. We're just about to go into a break, so we'll see you back on the other side.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
1 in 3 adults has pre-diabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has pre-diabetes, with early diagnosis, pre-diabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
Hello and welcome back. And just to carry on from what Matthew was saying, really, it is for me, you know, whether it is the Greta situation and the fact that actually she had the balls to stand up and speak and use that passion for what she believes in, or any of the many problems that are going on within the world. It's like, we need to stop competing. You know, it's not about who's best, who can do the job better. Oh, well, who done this, who done that? It's like, it's almost just like, just forget all that, because it's completely missing the point. You know, it's that's getting wrapped up in the drama of it and the story of it, and you know, for how we would say in England, the tit for tat. Oh well, I done this, so you done that. It really needs to not be about that anymore. You know, it doesn't matter which generation is responsible. Was it this? Was it that? As Matthew said, we all have a part to play in this. We all have a hand in this. And actually, we all need to stand up and say, yeah, okay, I'm going to do something differently. Because until we start to really get that understanding and that sort of sense of community with each other, and not just sort of with your nearest and dearest, but actually start pushing it out further, you know, and pushing that sort of circle out further and further, and have a little bit more of a thought about the environment or what's going on in America or in Africa, and actually just, you know, allow yourself to see where you can maybe make a change in your life or do something that will help have a better effect on someone else's life. For me, the more I sort of hear about all these sorts of problems, really, whether it's personal issues and mental health, world issues, it really doesn't matter. It's just like, let's stop pointing the finger and let's just start saying, okay, there's the problem. What's the best way of solving it? Forget everything else. You know, we need a solution here. Let's get the best people with the best knowledge and come up with the best outcome. Because it's, you know, it served us so well for so long, being able to point the finger. And it's something I've always seen sort of within the British government. You know, you have your various different parties, and any time a new party comes in, and it doesn't matter which one of them it is, but well, the country's in this state because of that party, and then that party then blames the one before them, and it is, and then we're back in this vicious circle that I was just talking about with everybody pointing the finger. You know, it's time to change now for me. It feels like there's been so much happening globally this year, and you know, so many different things that are bringing the world together in one way or another, even if it's making everybody aware that yes, we have the same problem over many different countries and continents.
Yeah, and I think it's sort of about everybody pulling together, and it's like you say, not making anybody wrong. And I think that's half the issue with that men feel, is that by being a certain way or having certain beliefs or saying how they truly feel, that they're going to be judged in a certain way. Something that interestingly I've had recently was a couple of guys just talking about spirituality and just how because if there's a stigma around what spirituality is, it stops a lot of guys from even entertaining it. And I mean, spirituality for me, when I first started sort of my journey, I was obviously doing a lot of work on self and doing a lot of meditation, and I just came to the realization, or was coming to the realization, that there was more to life and my experience than what I previously thought. And one of the first things that came up for me was fear around, well, what does that mean? What are people going to judge me, and are they going to think I've got certain beliefs and that sort of thing? And a lot of people, some guys at work would sort of say, oh, so are you religious? And I'd be like, well, no, I sort of believe the words of each religion, but don't believe in the contradiction between them all. Because I see my perception of religion is they're all the same and they're all talking the same words. The thing that is wrong with it is the human element, because the human element makes them different and discriminates one from another. Whereas for me, they're all the same. They're just different texts, different images of different beings or spirits. And so for me, spirituality is, for me, is just having a belief in more than life is. We're just here once, and actually, it didn't. What I realised is it didn't change who I am. I didn't have to be a different person. I didn't suddenly start wearing ochre robes and change my name to Moonbeam. It was very much like spirituality for me was for me. It was about my relationship with the universe. And just because I was becoming more open and some of my beliefs were changing, it didn't mean that I had to change who I was and my behaviours. It's like, as long as they're healthy, but it's this sort of almost perception or stigma around, am I going to have to change my life? Because, I mean, I probably spent 6 months worrying about this, like, am I going to have to change my life to have to stop enjoying motorsport and doing some of the things that I enjoyed? And it was half of the sort of stuff that was running around my mind and being worried about judged. And I sort of stepped back sort of a couple of years later and just kind of laughed at myself and thought, well, the only person that got that in the way of you was yourself and your own judgments. And that comes from things that we're told and other people's judgments. And I think, again, that's what stops a lot of people from really embracing it. And meditation's a real key for that, because I've met a lot of people that sort of said, how do you master meditation? And you sort of laugh, because for me, when I learned meditation, I was taught a certain way. And one was to use a sort of energization techniques beforehand to calm the body down and energize the body. And then you'd go through some chanting and that was very much sort of designed to keep your mind busy, so that when you try and then go into a silent meditation, it's a lot easier to connect. And a lot of people are told, you need visualizations and talking meditations. And again, there's a lot of misleading stuff. So what I was saying to them is, meditation is about finding the peace and finding the feeling of ecstasy, for want of a better expression. Because when I started, I found a lot of people were telling me a lot of different things. You should see this and you should see that and you should feel this and you should feel that. And I didn't see or feel anything. And would have been very easy to make it wrong and say, this isn't happening. But it took me a good probably year of really, really practicing before I really, really, truly felt the profound effects of meditation. And it is that I've heard people say, the fluoride is in our drinking water because it calcifies our third eye so that it stops us from meditating, and it's all a big conspiracy. And you've got to laugh, because I see the pineal gland as a muscle. And if you tried to pick something up with your left hand and it was the first time you'd ever tried to use your hand, you wouldn't expect it to work, would you? Whereas after a few months of practice and using your fingers and moving your arm around, you'll find that actually you can now use these muscles and they're effective. And again, it's the stigma and some of the BS that people are told, and guys especially are told, that we sort of step back and go, I'm not sure I feel comfortable with what people are telling me it is, when actually it's something completely different. And I know so many of my friends that are going through a spiritual awakening, but finding it really, really difficult because of the panic around what they've got to be or whether they've got to change. And again, it's this being told that it's a certain thing, and it's not. It's spirituality to me is about my relationship with the universe or the force, however you'd like to describe it or whatever your frame of reference is. And I think it is just that. And for me, it's about treating myself with respect and everybody else with that respect, and treating people how I'd like to be treated, and making an effort to improve a situation rather than, it's like if you go to a beach, bring 5 bits of rubbish back that aren't yours. And just little things, trying to make little efforts and always trying to be kind to people. That is the basis of what we're here for, is to have fun and all get on and actually enjoy the experience. And it's the human element. It's us that is stopping this. That's why I felt really empowered to sort of talk out to men and say, come on, guys, like, you can speak out and just do it in a constructive way. Do it with passion. Think about what you would like to say and say how you feel, not what you think. Because, again, a lot of people, before they talk, they say, well, I think this and I think that. And then you say, well, how do you feel about that? And you say, well, actually, those thoughts don't matter. It's just the feeling that matters. So, again, it's like if blokes start genuinely talking about how they feel, they'll realise that actually the level of respect goes up. Women really respond to men who can openly talk about their feelings. And men worry that women judge a man on how they feel. And just be real honest, they're being in touch with your feelings can be very attractive, but then if you're a little bit too in touch with your feelings, it can go the other way. But very much the work I've done is when you deal with your emotional baggage, you find that you're on such an even keel that an emotion will come in, and it could be sad and you'll cry, it could be joy and you'll laugh uncontrollably, but it's about finding that balance within self, and then you're really able to sort of master your emotions. But for people that aren't there, it's very much like just owning it when it's there and just expressing it. And when a woman sees a man that's expressing the emotions, you know he's being real. And that's what women want from men, is to see men being more real. And often than not, you can see a man not being real and assume that he's doing it on purpose, whereas actually he's not. He just doesn't know how else to be. And again, it's that sometimes that slight miscommunication or misunderstanding that can create this big thing, whereas actually it's not. So spirituality was definitely one thing that's been up for a few people that I've been speaking to recently. And again, it's the whole sort of the stigma around it.
And to be honest, sort of the stigma around it, I sort of had a bit of an experience with that a few years ago, and it was a case of Acorn to Woke. They run an event, a women's only event called Wild Women, and as much as I would have liked to have gone on it because it sounded amazing, it got me thinking. So I thought, I'm going to have a look online for men-only retreats. And, you know, I've done some searches sort of Eventbrite and, you know, obviously Googled it and that sort of thing. Found a few things. But it was really disappointing. And to be honest, I was quite angry, to be polite about it. And please don't think, you know, I sort of discriminate against anybody. But it's a case of, I found a couple of retreats, sounded really good, up until you got down to the bottom, and it was for the LGBT community only. And it was just like, really? So here I am, spiritual guy, interested in energy and emotions and a sort of an alternative way to life. Yet every men's retreat I find is for gay men. Now, okay, each to their own. Genuinely don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
But it does. It throws up that barrier and that stigma and all no. So, what, because I'm a straight man, I can't be spiritual? When I think, you know, the most important thing about anybody's spiritual journey is it's personal. It's what's right to them, you know.
Yeah.
It's some people may like quotes from Buddha, so they pull them in. Or it may be the Dalai Lama that does it. You know, for me, I heard about Paramahansa Yogananda and the SRF, and it just resonated with what they teach and that side of thing. So that's where I look to a lot of the time for my sort of advice and way forward, you know, especially when the chips are down and I'm a little bit, I don't know if I'm a bit lost or, you know, feeling a bit vulnerable or something. That's where I go to. That's where I look for to get my strength from and overcome my issues, you know, because it's knowing that I'm not alone on this path. And whether it be an inspirational talk or a phone call to a friend or you book some sort of therapy time with someone, it's knowing that I can reach out and not worrying about it as us men do. Or no, I'll do. I'll just manage it on my own and get on with it. It's like, well, actually, I'm not afraid to ask for help, and I think lots of men are. I mean, I know for a big part of my life I was. I wouldn't ask for help, whether it was pride or just pure ego crap. It doesn't really matter. I wouldn't ask for help, but if you need it, ask. You know, the worst anybody's ever going to do is say no, you know?
Well, yeah, this is it. And we a lot of the time as well is people that need the help don't necessarily ask for it. And we'll make up the stories. I mean, I had them in my head when I was young days. I sort of like, I pulled away from family and friends when I was my most depressed, and would tell myself the story that actually nobody cared, and that they weren't around, and if they loved me, they would come to see me more. But actually, what I was failing to realise at the time, that it was because I pulled away, that there was that space. And it's easy to for me to say, because I've been through it, and I'm only referencing my personal opinion, and I'm sure it's different for other people. But when I came out the other side of my depression, I realised just how much of it I was causing myself, and actually some of the things that I was judging my family and friends on, they don't care because otherwise they'd be doing this, and well, if they cared, they would show it more, and this, that, and the other. And actually, what I realised is I wasn't giving them the opportunity to do that. And then I was making them wrong that they didn't make more effort. And we can keep ourselves in this, or I was actually keeping myself with it in that depression, because I was actually telling myself stories. And it's like sort of feeling sorry for yourself. And it's like, of course you're going to have times like that if that's what you're going through, but it's about pulling through and being real and seeing a situation for how it is, and sort of trying to respond to it in the best way you can. And by talking very real about how I feel, I hope that it's resonating with certain men and it inspires them to go, well, actually, yeah, you know what, you can speak your mind in a constructive way, or some of the issues that we've discussed tonight, they may be current in your own life, and just a little change can make a big difference. And it's kind of like, I'd love to start a movement sort of almost like Brothers Unite, where us men can sort of start a sort of a chat or a movement on really getting guys to deal with mental health and break down some of the stigmas that are stopping things. Because for me, I haven't sort of been ready to share it up until now. Unfortunately, I lost my brother to suicide a couple of weeks ago. Now, we have very similar stories, but very different outlooks. So I found the breath work when I did just at the right time, and it very much worked for me. And I was a bit more open-minded than my brother, so I had experienced a few sort of alternative medicines before, and I was a little bit more open to energy. And to be real honest, I felt so bad at that time, I would have tried anything to deal with it. unfortunately, my brother wasn't of that mindset, and if it wasn't medically proved, then as far as he was concerned, it didn't work. And unfortunately, didn't entertain any alternative medicines that I sort of would have recommended to him, sort of thing. So there was always that sort of difference. But for me, it's kind of like I could get angry that he didn't try what I did, and I could get disappointed that I didn't try harder. But ultimately, it's that if somebody doesn't believe in something or won't entertain it, there's nothing you can do. And I thought, actually, if I can take anything from this, it's going to be getting more credit for the stuff that I do and really trying to gain more credit for some of the alternative holistic medicines that are out there that do work and can save lives, but are not entertained because of certain narrow-minded viewpoints, some financial sort of stopping of certain things. We all know that subject. But it is that if something works, then let's get it accredited. And that's my mission. I thought, I may not have been able to help my brother, but in his death, I'm going to help save plenty of others. So, and that, again, it's for me, it's not feeling angry at the situation. It's like if some genuine anger comes up, of course I will deal with it, but it's trying to flip it. And saying, actually, this can something good can come from this. And even if it's just somebody hears this story and is inspired from it and decides to make a change within their own life, well, that it's been worth talking about. And as I said, I haven't been ready to share it, but it feels very right now because it's about, come on, let's unite. Like we're all brothers in this. We need to sort of club together and really help each other. But also on the bigger scale of things, globally, we need to really start sort of cutting through the crap and really start pulling together and stop making everyone wrong just because we go into an emotional reaction. And don't get me wrong, I go into an emotional reaction all the time, but it's about taking a breath and really reflecting and thinking about the feeling as well as what the thought forms are to find constructive solutions. So really appreciate you listening tonight. I hope you've enjoyed the show. If you've got any comments, please feel like you could please get in touch. And we'll speak to you next week. Have a great week.
Have a great week, everybody.